Blog Talk Radio.
Well, amen, amen, amen. I am excited to be back on the line with you guys. I know it's been a few weeks with vacations and traveling, but I am back on the block and God has a word. I'm glad that you decided to stop by this evening. I take it not lightly nor for granted those who tune in live, those who download these messages, and I pray that they continually and consistently minister to your spirit, your soul, mind, and body. Well, you know how we do it. Before we get into the message, let us go into the throne of grace. Father, we just thank you tonight. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father God, for helping me articulate this message clearly and effectively to your people, O God. Father God, I thank you, Father God, for those that are listening at the sound of my voice and those, Father God, that will download this message later on. Father God, I thank you that your word says that he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Father, we cancel out every distraction, every hindrance, Father, in the name of Jesus, that will prevent your people, Father God, from absorbing this word, Father God, in their spirit, man. Father, we just thank you that it will be a light unto their feet and a lamp unto their pathway, Father. I thank you, Father God, that you continue to help us and deliver us, Father God, from the bondages, Father God, from the bondages of the enemy, the bondages of the inner me, the bondages, Father God, all around, Father. We thank you, Father God, that this is a year of progress. This is a year of promotion. This is a year of moving forward for your people, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father God, tonight for your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, and we bless God. Hallelujah. Well, this message tonight may be a little interesting for some of you because it's talking about the mind. And I know that we have heard messages, we probably have read books and things like that, but I thought it was really, really neat how God broke this thing down for me tonight. There will be some references to some things that I have ministered on in the past, but it's all inclusive and intertwined in what God wants to say tonight. The message tonight is entitled, As a Man Thinketh in His Heart, So Is He. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And that comes from Proverbs 23:7. Now, this won't be a whooping message and a, you know how I get all fiery, but I believe it's going to be a teaching message tonight that's going to help someone. I know it's helping me. You know, it always helps the messenger first when he downloads it unto you. Generally, the message is for you first before you disseminate it unto the people. Amen. Now, did you know your mind is much more than the matter between your ears? Have you ever really given it any significant thought concerning the mind, the brain? Well, God is going to break that down because just like the thyroid, he gave me an example. You know, we deal with this thyroid issue. And just like the thyroid gland, this little gland in the front of the neck shaped like a butterfly. And if you were not in anatomy, if you're not a doctor or whatever, you may just think, oh, this is a cute little butterfly-shaped thing that sits in the front of the neck, and it seems like it's just harmless. You know, what could it really do? However, the thyroid gland, butterfly-shaped, small, sits in the front of your neck, regulates the entire thermostat of the body. This thyroid, for the whole everything we have going on, it regulates the entire body as far as temperature. So likewise, though we use the mind, the words mind and brain synonymously, both are very different. You know, when generally people speak about the mind and they speak about the brain, they're usually using those words interchangeably. But God gave me a different method tonight. Let's break it down a little further. The brain is physical. If you opened up your head, you could physically touch and see the brain. You know, we've seen on the shows where they're talking about when they're having brain surgery and we're looking in at the brain. So we can physically see that there is a brain. It can be touched. It can be felt. But your mind cannot. The mind cannot be physically. What the mind is, my brothers and sisters, is a tangible and intangible experience which ultimately culminates to what we call perception. Did you hear what I say? The mind is made up of tangible and intangible experiences which ultimately culminates to be what we consider perception. I said, go ahead, Holy Ghost, because Valerie couldn't have come up with that, but that was Holy Spirit inspired. And these perceptions generally stem from the heart. I ministered on a message a long time ago about the heart, and when people always think that their thoughts and everything come directly from the mind, no, they move from the heart up to the brain, and therefore the body acts out on them. Now, that's not the message tonight, but these things make up the mind, the intangible, intangible experiences. How many times have we heard perception is not always truth? I know that's something that I continually always say, that just because it seems like a perception, perception is not always truth, people of God. But people act on perception all the time. They say if it walks like a duck, it quacks like a duck, then it must be a duck. Wrong. Well, in human analysis, deductive reasoning may be great. I watch forensic files all the time, so I know how they take one thing and put it together with another, and it leads them to another and another, and ultimately they solve the case. Yes, deductive reasoning in the natural sense, in the natural realm, is wonderful, but analyzing the things of God through human sensory means or perception will always lead to the wrong outcome. Do you hear what I'm saying, my brothers and sisters? We cannot discern. We cannot use sensory mechanism. We can't use our five senses to determine what God is going to do or what God is going to say or what God even thinks about us. We cannot use our own five senses, our own finite mind, to say what our God is saying about us. What's wrong in the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters, that the mindset has been so discombobulated, has been so confused, has been so distorted that we have pulled away from the original design of who God has called us to be. This is why the message is entitled tonight, As a Man Thinketh in His Heart. Where? In his heart, so is he. Because this is the storehouse of the emotions. This is the storehouse of where it all begins, whether it's going to be truth or whether it's going to be a lie. But guess what, my brothers and sisters? The heart cannot discern which one is right. It just intake mechanism. It receives input. The heart receives. It's going to feel good. It's going to feel bad. It has no agenda. It has no ulterior motive. I'm just receiving, the heart says. Now he takes it up to the brain, and the brain begins to filter it out and say, okay, this happened in my past, so therefore this must be bad. This happened to me before, and I know I felt good, so therefore this may be good. That's a sensory perception about what's going on, but it takes the Holy Ghost to be able to discern what is of truth. And that's where we are, my brothers and sisters, even in our own lives. Just taking us as individuals, we're not even at the church stage yet. We haven't entered into the front doors. We're starting at the door of our storehouse, the door of this temple, the door of this body. We make up the body of Christ. We make up the body of Christ, but before we can be a part, an effective part of the body of Christ, we must have a transforming and renewing of our minds, my brothers and sisters. And what happens is that when we begin to create our own perception through sensory means, we have now created our own individualized information gathering system. I said, go ahead, Holy Ghost. We have now created our own individualized information gathering mechanism in which we use to traverse this thing called life. Perception then feeds this information to the brain, which takes root in the mind. And guess what? Now we have what we call a stronghold. And the word is self-explanatory. A stronghold is exactly how it sounds. It has a strong grip, or it has a strong hold on something. And in this case, what we're talking about is talking about the mind. The mind and the heart, they work together. The mind is intangible, but the heart is tangible, but they work together. The heart is sensory. It feels. It has no agenda. It just receives. And the brain carries it out. Perception acts it out. My brothers and sisters, That's why the very things that we've rehearsed and played over and over again in our minds literally becomes our reality. Though it may be skewed by wrong information, wrong sensory inputs, wrong perception, it produces the outcome of the very thought, which is generally faulty. God is saying, it's much more. We say the scripture all the time, be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. From the time we hit this earth, sensory input was at work. From the time we hit this earth, when we came out of our mother's womb, we began to be sensitive people, began to be sensitive. When a mother hears her child's cry, she's sensitive to his needs. She's sensitive to her needs and her wants. We're using sensory input to discern, what do I need to do? But God is wanting his children to move past sensory input. He's not about a feeling. He's not in a feeling. He's not in the five senses. You can't smell God. You can't touch God. You can't feel God. We think it. We feeling him when we having the goosebumps on our arms. But God is a spirit. God is a spirit, and God is wanting his children to come up higher. We have become stagnant, and we have become paralyzed at the lower level. I'll say that again. We have become stagnant and paralyzed at the lower level of our being. This is why God always tells us, where in the Bible did God ever tell us to go low? He's always telling us to go higher. He's always saying, come up hither. He's saying, seek me while I am yet to be found. He's always telling us to strive toward the mark of the higher calling. He's always using those adjectives to tell us it's a higher thing, not a lower thing. And too many of us have been operating in a stagnant mentality, a banal mentality, just devoid of any existence. Only thing it is just sensory input here, there, everywhere, but not rising above their situations, not rising above their own inner negative self-talk. We've got to deal with some things in the body of Christ. We've got to deal with some things in our lives if we're going to see the manifestation of what God said we can have and who God says that we were and are from the foundation of the earth. This is what we have to do, my brothers and sisters. We got to get this mind thing together. And the buck stops here. The buck stops here. We blame a lot of things on the enemy. We blame a lot of things on the outside and the outward things that happen to us. But what about that inner small talk when you're by yourself and it begins to eat at you and gnaw at you because it begins to relive things that when you were a young boy or when you were a young girl, it begins to relive the negative self-talk when you were talked about or when you were criticized or when you were not liked or when you were not invited to this party or that party or when your best friend left you and went with someone else. And all these sorts of things, they still play over and over and over and over, no matter how old you are. So God said, tonight I want you to talk about, as a man thinketh, so is he. We've got to change the negative self-talk. We've got to change our input that's coming in to our psyche. We've got to change what we are allowing to put in. Yes, things are going to bombard us each and every day, but we still have the ability to be our own gatekeepers. We do have the ability to be able to, when we're at home and amongst ourselves, to be able to not watch certain things, to be able to not hear certain things, to be able to not entertain certain conversations. And even when the fiery dart starts to roar and roar and roar and roar, and it wants you to act in an unseemly way, we must take at least a 5 to 10 second pause and say, is this God or is this me? Is this God or is this my ego? Because we, as the body of Christ, when you know the word of God, you should know when it's not of God. Come on, somebody. strongholds are things that are perpetually said negatively to us over and over and over again. And this is what's happening into the body of Christ. This is what's happening to us as individuals, as believers. This is what's happening, my brothers and sisters, because we're looking outwardly instead of inwardly. We've got to take self-inventory. We've got to purge and purify. Because guess what? One plus one plus one. If I go into the church, you go into the church, somebody else goes into the church, and if we're all jacked up in the minds, guess what? Yes, it will be a jacked up situation in the church. So why not do our own individual inventory, which starts with the Word of God, which starts with the Word of God? What is the Holy Spirit trying to teach you this evening? He's saying if you want your life to change, you must first do the inner work. If you want better outcomes, you must put in better inputs. If you want to live the life that God predestined for us from the foundations of the earth, it doesn't start with a good job. It doesn't start with having the best of the best. It starts with the perception you have of self. It starts with the perception you have of self and others. As a man thinketh, so is he. I wrote a poem one time, and it was called Looking Through the Eyes of Why. And I just remember it so clearly. It was years ago, and it was titled Looking Through the Eyes of Why. And I took the example of a young girl who was full of life, and she played with her dolls, and she played with her friends, and she freely went outside to play, and she smiled and laughed a lot. She was a very happy child. But one day, old mister stopped by, carrying the spirit of perversion, and he changed her world that very day. And from that day on, she was never the same. The next day just looked like yesterday. The next day after old mister stopped by was still sunny. There was no rain. Her friends were outside playing. They were laughing and smiling. They were playing with their dogs. Nothing on the outside changed, but something changed on the inside of her. Her perception changed now about life. Did life change? Was the sky still the same? Yes. Was the sun still out? Yes. Were her friends still playing? Yes. But something changed. This is what God is talking about. God created us to be fearfully and wonderfully made. But there are things that happened to us when we were younger, even as adults. Things are still happening, but it starts when we're young. That's our base camp, as they would say. This is where Satan starts. So now, he created this beautiful world. But because whatever happened to you, my son or my daughter or my brother or my sister, whatever happened, now you're looking through the eyes of why. Now you're looking through a distorted lens. You're looking at life through a distorted glass because of the experiences that we've had as children, young adults, and as adults. Everyone has had these experiences, some different, but everyone has had experiences that were detrimental, that were tragic. No one is exempt from that. The richest person in the world is not exempt from that. The most beautiful person in the world is not exempt from that. But we're all walking around with masks. We're all walking around not really being who God says we are. We have shaped and we have shifted and we have camouflaged ourselves into what experience said we should be. Most young people who are raped or molested, when the spirit of perversion enters, they become that thing in which the perpetrator perpetrated upon them. They become that instead of what God says they are. Well, he took this from me, so now I'm going to go take that from them. I'm going to go to the streets now. I'm going to become a lady of the evening. I'm going to become an escort. I'm going to become somebody on the pole. They took that from me when I was young. Now let me take their dollars. Let me take their manhood. Now we've strayed away from the original design. Same thing goes for the men. Same thing goes. As a man thinketh, so is he. My brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how well it's dressed up. It doesn't matter how good it looks on the outside. We all have experiences. We all have things that have caused us to second guess ourselves. We all have things that have been tragic in our lives. We all have something that wants to cause us to feel less than. But God is saying, don't stay there. God is saying this evening, I need you to get a revelation of who I say you are. I need you to get a revelation of what I called you to be. I need you to get what I designed for you from the foundations of the earth. I need you to rise up above distortion. I need you to rise up above disappointment. I need you to rise up above fear. I need you to rise up above intimidation. I need you to rise up above insecurity. I need you to rise. This is what he's saying, my brothers and sisters. I need you to rise up beyond your own limited, finite thinking. I need you to rise. Well, you ask, Minister Valerie, how do I change this negative self-talk, this sabotaging inner deceiver that caused me to respond to my pain versus the promise? And when God said that, I said, my God, because Valerie didn't say that. He says we respond to the pain versus the promise. God is wanting us to take a 5 to 10 second break. I need you when that thing comes and tries to ride your mentality. I need you to respond to the promise, not to the pain. I need you to feed your promise more than I want you to feed that pain. Stop nourishing what happened to you yesterday. Stop worshiping and reveling in what she said or he did. No. Come on, somebody. I need you to come above that because somebody didn't rise this morning. Somebody left here with their work undone because pain killed them. Somebody left here with their work undone because worryation killed them. Because a broken heart killed them. And God says that is not his design for us. God is saying that is not his will for us. Negative self-talk and sabotaging inner deceiver that causes us to respond to our pain. How do we no longer react to those things? How do we no longer react to our insecurities but respond to our confidence? How do we no longer play the tape of the childhood and past experiences over and over? How do we get past the violation, the hurt, the mistrust, and the disappointment? My brothers and sisters, there is no quick fix. There is no quick fix. That would be a lie. There would be no quick fix from years of self-sabotaging, negative inner talk. That's a culmination of years of the perception of life. But God is saying, you must start somewhere. And the day is that day. The day is that day that there is going to be a complete turnaround in your life. Today is that day. You are not hearing this message by chance. If you're listening to this message, it first started with me, and whoever listens to this message, that means God is saying, whatever it is that have kept you from living, that has kept you at living beneath your God-given privilege, today it ends. Because we're doing something about that negative self-talk. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but what we must do, we must first recognize who's talking. I've spoken on this before. You must recognize the voice that's talking. When a thought comes in your head, it's either God speaking, it's you speaking, or it's Satan speaking. It's one of three that's speaking to you. When a thought arises in your head, now you ask yourself, who would that be? Because the word of God would say this, or Jesus would say or do this. Or is it my ego? My ego would say this. My ego would do this. or Satan would do this. It's as simple as that. Discern the voice who's talking to you. The Bible tells us, he says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice we shall not follow. Many of us have been called following the stranger's voice. And guess what? The stranger's voice will mimic as your own, my brothers and sisters. I know, but the Bible says the deep calleth upon the deep. The stranger's voice, the enemy's voice, will mimic itself, and it will enter you as if it's your own thought. This is why we act upon it, because we have not taken the time to discern who's talking to us. There is no quick fix. There is none. But there is something called faith. And there is the belief and the promise that the Lord told us in Jeremiah 29 and 11. My Bible scholars probably know it by heart. He says, for I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I'll read that again. For I know, this is the Lord speaking, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So my brothers and sisters, if I am in all, and all is within me, and together we are one, how is it that we are letting our thoughts carry us away from the true essence of who we are? How is that happening? As a man thinketh, so is he. Is your station in life a culmination of your inner man being in control? But the inner man isn't healthy? It was birthed out of a contaminated, distorted soil. Anything that is said concerning you and who you are must line up with the word of God, or it's a lie. Period. End of sentence. Do you hear what I say, my brothers and sisters? Anything that is said concerning you and who you are must line up with who God says you are. If it does not, it's a lie, period, end of sentence. Cast it down, every fiery thought, every false imagination, cast it down immediately, because it's a lie from the pit of hell. It's a lie. This will take practice to overcome. This will take recognition of immediately casting down false imaginations when they rise. But nevertheless, God is a helper of those that continually seek him. God is a helper of those who want to do great and marvelous things. God is a helper of those that are diligently seeking him and wanting to do better and wanting to change their life around. Come on, somebody. God is wanting to do some things in us as individuals. He's wanting to do some things in us in the body of Christ. He's wanting to do some things. But he needs us to first begin the shift. He needs us to first begin the turnaround. He needs us to first begin to understand that the reason our life has gone a certain way is because of the inner demons, the inner me. Not the enemy, but the inner me. Come on, somebody. And before we get out of here, I'm just going to pray, and we're going to bless God, because today is the day of the turnaround. Father, I bless you right now for this word. I bless you, Father God, for those that are listening at the sound of my voice and those that will download this message. Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who helped me to articulate this message tonight, because truly that was 100% download from you. I, in my natural mind, couldn't have thought of the things that you downloaded to me tonight. Father, I say thank you, God. And I thank you, God, for those that have a mind shift, a mind turnaround. And I thank you, Lord God, for the lies that are producing, the lives that now are productive, the lives that are now flowing from the effervescence of you. God, I bless your name tonight. I bless you and I honor you. I thank you, Lord God, Father God, for your children, your sons and your daughters. I thank you, Father God, for allowing me in their homes, in their cars, Father God, on their computers, on their phones. I thank you, God. I take it not lightly nor for granted. I bless you tonight. For your people, as they go forth, be empowered by God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Until next week, I love you and God bless you. Amen.